All right. We're going to share notes.
Okay.
Just bear with us. Pray for me. I'm going to try to follow him.
Well, I'm glad you guys are here.
We'll talk about that later.
How are you guys doing? Everybody okay? Good. Can we just give a hand clap and a round of applause to all the people who showed up early to do all this work?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Was somebody here at 4 a.m. working? Did I hear that? No, I
no.
made that up.
Oh,
it was 7. I think 7. You guys showed up at 7. So thank you for being here early. I'm pretty sure I was sound asleep at 7, so I'm very grateful that you did that.
Unintentionally.
Yeah, I actually turned off my alarm and then fell hard asleep. So it's all right. I needed the sleep. So some of us had to get it. Okay. We want to talk a little bit about leadership in the home, and specifically with the husband, and then what that looks like in the family. And the reason why we felt like we needed to go this direction is a lot of the questions we get when we're doing either marriage counseling or just kind of helping navigate some couples through things is that a lot of times it comes up that the wife would like to see the husband lead more and take more initiative. And so really the word is that I want to stand on and talk about a lot in this thing is initiate, the word initiate. And that's what we hear a lot is we want the wives are saying, husband, we want our husbands to initiate. We want them to step out and make a plan, not come up with all the ideas necessarily, but like, let's start a conversation. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. I think a lot of times, ladies, we kind of feel, you know, if we look at like the kids or the house, it's like we're the ones who start the conversation about kids. We're the one who starts the conversation about keeping up the house or finances or something. And that's okay, but it ends up being a lot of mental load, honestly. And just having someone else go, I care about this, I'm going to start the conversation is huge. So this initiation thing. And I think too, you know, there's a misconception in our society in general. It's like the husband makes the money, the husband goes to work, therefore they're leading the home. And there's so much more to it than that, right? I mean, those are great things. We definitely want those things, but there's so much more to it. So we're going to just kind of dive into that.
So like we are, if you're just figuring this out, we're in a marriage conference. So welcome. And if you're also just figuring out, we are in a church, in a strip mall, but it's a church, at a marriage conference. So it shouldn't be surprising at all that we're going to bring up a relationship with the Lord. It shouldn't be surprising at all that a Christ-centered, a God-centered marriage, who created marriage in the first place, is really the only thing that works. And we could all name couples that we know that are in the world that don't love God, that have what appears to be a good marriage. And I would say those are more the exception than the rule. And, you know, there's other things they're laying down to get what they're having. And you don't get to see behind closed doors very often. We know from just doing this for a long time and experience that putting God first is really the only way that works. And so you might be hearing like, maybe you got drugged to this. I don't know. There are times when you get pulled in, but honestly, it does come back to God. It comes back to why we're on the planet. It comes back to God creating us and forming us and having a plan for our lives from the very beginning. And it all starts with Him. So that being said, marriage is a covenant. And I'm just touch on this briefly on the front end.
Well, and I'm going to say too, it's not an accident you're here. You didn't just get here by coincidence, just so you know. You're here, whether you're a believer, you're not a believer, where you go to this church, you don't go to church. You were here for a reason, to get something. God is talking to you, whether you know it or not. And so I just want to encourage you. It's not like, man, that was a waste of my time. No, you're meant to be here. You're supposed to be here. So just keep that in mind.
So that being said, the covenant that God makes in marriage is between a man and a woman. And I know we got all kinds of things. We got some dating couples in here, some singles, and people that are heading toward marriage, haven't got there yet. But we want to encourage you in this regard, that the covenant of marriage is a God-ordained institution. And when God says this is good, He means it. And so you got to understand, if you're married now, God's put His stamp of approval on the two of you. If you're thinking about getting married, you've got to understand that until you are married, and I don't mean like all the things you do are married. Like we are married, except we don't have the paper. What? Marriage is a big deal. Is everybody okay?
It's the Star Wars theme song.
Nice. So, I mean, that's some good background music for what I'm about to say. Marriage is a big deal. And when we make that covenant before God, he honors that. That means his stamp of approval and his blessings on it. That means that he's working with you to help your marriage get better and better and better. And when we don't have that, when we do it a different way, we're kind of leaving it. We're leaving it on our own. And so I just want to encourage you wherever you're at in your walk. There's nobody's trying to put anybody down or make you feel bad in any way, shape, or form. I'm encouraging you actually, because we're in a marriage conference, because we're talking about the things that we do that make marriage better. They really only work when we're doing it God's way. And we want to make sure we talk about that after these meetings. If you're in that boat where you have an honest conversation with your future spouse or your partner, whoever, you want to have a conversation. You know, what does it look like for us to do this God's way? Because we can give you all the points, we can lay out all the stuff, we can tell you all the things, and that it comes back to Mark's first message is you got to put God first, and putting God first means you're doing it God's way, and it's in the right order, and marriage is God's way, so I just want to encourage everybody. Let's do it God's way, and we'll start there from that place. And once you do, it starts getting better because God's hand is on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to start with that because it's a big deal that we understand that moving forward. That being said, I also want to talk about husband's leadership. And we're just going to make a few points and cruise through this.
Yeah, it's about husband's leadership, but it's also about wives learning how to follow and being willing to follow when the husband steps out to lead. So we're going to touch on both sides of that.
And in our society, there's, and gratefully so, there's a lot of strong women in our world, in this room, strong, developed, love God, like want to do things right. And because sometimes maybe because the husbands didn't know how to lead or what to do or how to step out, how to initiate, you've stepped into that role to kind of keep the ball rolling. And I just want to encourage the husbands today to step into that role and walk in it. And then also the women in the house that have been walking in that role to begin to allow your husband to work on these things without shame and put downs and snarky remarks. And I wouldn't do it that way because you've been doing it a different way. Can I say that out loud? Is that okay?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I literally sometimes, because I did come from a really strong family. My dad was strong, but my mom was strong. And I literally will have conversations and I'll go like this to keep myself from talking. Because sometimes I just need to be quiet and I don't have to say everything that I'm thinking. So anyway, this is a good place to be sometimes, ladies. I'm just saying.
What's she holding back on? Like, what is that?
No. Okay. Don't need to chime in. And not that it's always bad. Sometimes it's like, I just don't need to chime in. Like, it's done. I don't need to keep talking. So anyway.
So number one, and this has been the theme this week, this weekend, is number one, fellas, if you want to lead well, and I believe I got men in the house that want to lead well. I think sometimes we just weren't taught. We didn't have a good example. We never saw it in our own families growing up or around us, and we just don't know what to do. And so we're just going to give you a few things. But number one, fellas, if you want to lead well, you personally have to grow in the Lord. And again, that comes back to the first message we heard, is you got to make a commitment to say, God, I'm putting you first in my life. I'm going to make that happen. And from that place in the marriage covenant, it gets better. And Proverbs says in the Living Bible, it says, in everything you do, put God first and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. In everything you do, put God first. He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. That's in the Living Bible. And so if we're going to lead well, guys, if we're going to lead well, it starts from that place. And I realize we kind of got a mixed bag of folks here and that, you know, some of you I've never met before, I met this weekend, but understand you want your marriage to be good. It's going to start and lead in with your relationship and having a personal relationship with your creator, with God.
And I would say that goes for the ladies too, because again, when we have that relationship, then we can operate out of the overflow of what God's put inside of us.
So if you want more on that subject, listen to the first one from Mark later. Okay. Number two, sacrifice. What does that look like? And that comes back to that point we made last night about security, that the woman's number one need was for security. And that comes back to this sacrifice point. And so just want to expound just a little bit on that. But again, this is an initiation, fellas. This is an initiation on your part to demonstrate to your wife and to your family that you are the head, you are the leader of the house. But because of that, I'm willing to sacrifice my wants and my needs and my desires, not to lay them down forever. Don't feel like you're never going to get what you want now. It's like, great, I'm married and life is over. That's not the perspective. The perspective is that I did this intentionally. I married this woman intentionally. We had kids intentionally, most of them. And we love them all, right? There's one surprise, but it's good. We love the surprises. And we do these things intentionally. And you've got to understand that when you do that, we're intentionally saying, okay, I am going to act like Christ and the church, that he laid down his life for the church. But look at the position Jesus is in now because of his sacrifice. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's the head of the church. He's the leader of us. He's our Lord and Savior. We're going to see him face to face one day and be so glad that we made Jesus our Lord and Savior. That's coming. That day is coming. But Jesus' time and his sacrifice was laid down for us on the earth so that we could come to him and we could have this awesome relationship. And so it's, if you think of it this way, sacrifice is something that is habitual and it's perpetual, but it doesn't mean that you get nothing that you desire forever. It's actually the fastest way to get your wants and needs met is for you to lay down your life for somebody else, the fastest way. And even just from a worldly perspective, which again, you get good worldly advice economically or any other way, and it works, it's because it's rooted in Bible foundations. Always, always. Doesn't matter if they quote the Bible or not, it always is. And there's secular advice right now that you can find on the bookshelves that say in your business, in your personal life, if you want to succeed, I think this might even been Zig Ziglar that said this. He says, if you can help enough other people get what they want, you'll never lack for what you want. Right. And that's just a biblical principle restated, is you're laying down your life. You're sacrificing for somebody else's desires and wants and needs. You're never going to lack yourself. And that works in marriage too.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, as husbands start walking in this sacrificial love, you know, I've seen this in Corey with, he loves playing golf, for instance, and he doesn't go play golf as much as maybe he did early in our marriage. And I see that sacrifice he makes. And so when he's like, I'm going to go play golf, I'm like, no, you're not. I've been home with the kids and you better, you're not. No, I love him. I see the sacrifice that he makes. So I'm like, go have fun. You need to go and do those things. So you see how it can become very cyclical, where it's like when he's giving to me that I'm going, man, I want him to have a break. I want him to go out and have fun. And I think that's part of that reciprocating.
Yeah. So it says this in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. You're already prepared to lay down your life what you want to honor your life. Are you willing to lay down what you want to honor your wife? And I mean, I just can't state it any better than that. You're going to have to, fellas, if you want to lead well, you're going to have to come to a place where you're like, I'm willing to lay down what I want to make sure that my wife gets what she needs and she's taken care of.
And saying those words to your wife is going to be really powerful. Say, I'm willing to lay down this thing. I'm willing to be here. I'm willing to sacrifice. That's going to go a long way. And ladies receive that going, well, you've said that before. No, you know, that's not part of the following. When he says those things, then you believe him. You know, Corey and I talk a lot about cleaning off the filter, right? We have junk between us in marriage. Yes, there's stuff. And so at some point when we're trying to make efforts, you know, I double dog dare you all this weekend to clear the filter out. And if your husband comes to you and go, I'm going to lay some stuff down for you, I'm going to sacrifice for you, then you just go, okay. And you don't say anything else. Just say, okay,
don't roll your eyes.
That sounds great, babe. Thank you so much. And just clear the filter. Don't go, well, in the past he this, in the past he that. And we said this before. We've been around this bend. Both sides need to clear out the filter. So
that's what she means by filter, is that
right.
You're clogged by all the stuff that's all happened the past. Before, and you're filtering it through those experiences and the things that were said and the hurts that were made. You're filtering your whole communication through all those. When she says clear your filter, it's like you guys know when you go get to your AC filter and you forgot, you got three dogs and two cats and that thing is just caked on thick. You've forgotten it. Like, guys are like, yeah, I've seen that. I live with girls too and a dog. So it's like there's stuff in that filter all the time. But when you take it out, it's thick and you got to clean that off and wash it out and put, and when it does, it works better. It's cleaner. And so you've got to emotionally, you got to clear the filter and start hearing it from a new perspective and start working together.
Yeah.
Yay. And then it comes back to a little bit more. Just I want to talk a little bit more about communication. Fellas, you've got to initiate some of these conversations about all kinds of things. But you do need to initiate. Our wives, and mine included, like she has told me multiple times, like, I don't want to have to start this conversation all the time. I want you to be thinking about it. And and start it. And that's part of our job is to...
It communicates that he's thinking about me when he's starting these conversation. And I want to know he's thinking about me.
Right. And so that initiation of conversation is really going to help for you to talk. Again, this isn't a dictatorship. When the Bible talks about the husband being the head and the wife is to be submitted to the husband, he's not laying down this, you know, dark ages type, you know, tyrannical rule. That's not what God is talking about. It's just, it's structure, it's order. And we're equals. She doesn't have to go to God through me. She goes to God for herself, right? And I go to God for myself. But together, we work together. We are co-laborers together in Christ. We work together for our marriage, for our kids, for our work, for the ministry, for all things that we do. We work together. So what she's saying is, and what we're telling you is, they just want... Our gals want us to just initiate, like, hey, let's talk about this. Tomorrow, when I get home from work, I want to talk about this kid. There's some stuff going on with this, you know which kid. You thought of that kid name right when they said it. We're going to talk about this kid, right? And that's the conversation.
Because I can guarantee she's thinking about that kid, right? And so if you go, we're going to talk about this kid, then she's going to take a deep breath because it's like, I'm not carrying it alone. And again,
can you see that? She's not carrying it alone. It's like, she just knows he's thought about this already and I don't have to bring it up. And it's on the brain. And so then you start talking about, what do we do? What are we missing? How are we? And she's giving me stuff. Being a dad of three girls, she's given me things that I did not see at all. She's like, you need to handle that. You need to talk about that. You need to, you know, one-on-one with them. You need to say this. You need to respond in some way, shape, or form. And she's been a great help for me in the parenting piece because she sees things I don't see. And on the flip side, you know, from the dad perspective, you know, I'm also able to give her perspective that she doesn't see in what I'm seeing from the kids. So again, this is like, it's not that we're saying, husbands, you got to come up with all the answers. And I think some guys get in this thing, like when you hear this, it's like, I got to solve all the problems. That's really not what your wife wants. She wants your opinion. She wants your engagement. She wants you to initiate.
Just processing things together is really nice.
And that's true leadership. When you think about if you've ever in your life led anything, you've been a shift lead at a job, you've been a manager, you've owned a business, you've done different things where you are responsible for the work of other people. You had to think about, and I was in construction for 14 years, so I had to think about regularly what was happening this week on my job. Like, what's tomorrow? What tools do we need to bring to the job tomorrow? Who needs to be there? Who do I need to call? Have I scheduled that yet? Like, my brain, you know, guys, come on, our brains, we can process this stuff. We can do this. We just have to make sure that we're doing it with our families too, that we're taking enough time to say, okay, this is the most important thing that I do in my life. I need to think about this. I need to spend some minutes a day thinking about, how are my kids doing? Are they doing okay in school? Are they responding okay at home? Do they have chores? Do they have jobs? Are they handling that well? Are they talking to my wife nice? I mean, dads, have you guys seen that meme where that son was sitting at the kitchen counter and he was videoing himself and he was talking to his mom, who was not on camera, but he could see himself, and his dad was in the lazy boy behind him in the living room. And he set this up with his mom. And his mom said, you know, Wyatt, yeah, go take the trash out. And he goes, shut up, mom. His dad went, boom. He was up out of the chair. Big boy. And he was moving. He's like, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. And his wife was yelling, we're kidding. We're kidding. We're kidding. I mean, dad was just, he was on his feet right now.
But come on, that's attractive.
It's like,
I mean, it is.
She had been like, yes, sir.
Yeah, buddy.
Uh-huh. That's a good test.
It is.
But then there's a whole bunch of other guys that'd be like, huh? Would you say, I mean, they're in their machines, they're in their phones, they're in the, you know what I mean? Not even aware of what's going on. Yeah. And our wives want us to initiate, be in there, be in the conversation, start this up, be thinking about your family, taking care of those things.
You know, something Corey and I talk about in our relationship, I'm definitely more of the introvert. He's the extrovert. Anybody else have introverted wives? Okay. So yes. Okay. So, you know, I'm home with the girls all the time. We homeschool. I'm doing a lot of talking. I'm doing a lot of interacting all day long with my children. So at the end of the day, I have literally told them, I'm out of words. I have no more words for you today. But that kind of crosses over into our relationship. So he comes home and I don't have the energy to start a conversation, you know, but he does know me. And I think most of these spouses in here, you can tell when your wife or your husband, you know, because a lot of times these things can cross over some. You can tell when your wife is stressed. I'm just going to speak from that perspective because that's me. And I think sometimes the go-to reaction is I'm steering clear. I don't know that that's the right thing to do all the time. Sometimes we need our husbands to go, babe, you seem super stressed out. What happened today? You know, what's going through your mind? Don't just go, are you okay? Sorry, I do that voice.
That's what I sound like. When I come home, I sound like that. Are you okay?
Because sometimes the answer is going to be, I'm fine, right? I'm fine. But ask an open-ended question. What happened? You don't seem okay. Can you, you know, talk to me a little bit and give her a minute to be able to process? Because she, I mean, a lot of times I do need to talk because otherwise it just rolls in my head. It all just rolls in my head. And I'm not going to say a word because I've already spent my words. They're gone. So I encourage you, go towards the stressed out wife, not away, because she needs you to go towards. And wives, when he comes and tries, see that he's trying and don't bite his head off. You know, just really go take a deep breath. It's that whole idea too. And I keep going back to this in my brain, which is how would we treat if it was Jesus? If Jesus came up to us and said, you seem a little stressed. Would we go, of course I'm stressed, you know?
It's no. Your children.
No. would we stonewall Jesus? No. We would see that he is taking a moment. He is seeing me and he's trying to connect with me and he's trying to help. And then we have to humble ourselves and react how we would to Jesus in that situation. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's been a trend in coaching. And got any sports fanatics around here? It's three. Okay. So there's been a trend in coaching. In old school coaching, there was a lot of yelling that happened. There was a lot of belittling, put down. What are you thinking? Just lots and lots and lots of yelling. And that was a motivation for a long time. And we've seen this trend kind of change where now these coaches are actually realizing they're coaching adults and not children, you know, in the professional sports and had a lot more different conversations. So I just find that interesting because the coaches that are having success in this era are not the yellers. They're actually the ones that are team related. Hey, we can work this out. Let's figure this out. You know, you made a mistake. Let's fix it. It's going to cost you consequences for bad decisions, but I'm not going to lose my cool over it. You just have to walk out the consequences. And in communication with our wives, the escalating, the yelling, the excited talking, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't always work. It's better to be calm. And I grew up in a home where there wasn't yelling at each other. That didn't happen. But we lived in an old house, but it was a big house, like a three-story. So we yelled just for the sake of trying to find people. And so we would raise our voice. And then we had a little bit of property around. So my mom, I'm not even joking, my mom would come on the back porch when I was playing in the town kind of sat below us. And it was small, like maybe 60 houses-ish. And she would come to the back porch and she could yell on a decibel level I didn't know a human could hit to get my attention. And I could hear that and know it's time to come home. And so for me, yelling wasn't a big deal. In her home, it was a little bit more, what should I say, boisterous? Would that be
no,
fair?
There was lots of loud talking.
Loud talking. And things. And so she
it was highly stressful for
she
me.
She was cringy about the raised voice, the elevated voice. Somehow we've gotten over that. But
we have.
I'm just saying
because what you're about to say. Well, because for when we got married, I'm like, don't yell at me. Don't yell for me across the house. Walk across the house to get me.
Are you kidding?
Because even like that, it was any of that raised tone would just,
it would just tense.
I would get really tense.
Yeah.
And he thought I was crazy, but it was just, I'm like, I'm never going to yell.
I just can't find the socks. Like, can you please just tell me which drawer it is?
Yeah.
Anyway, so this conversation piece is important. And, Ephesians, again, it tells us in 4, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. And he's asking us specifically in all our communication, but specifically here, let's apply it to marriage. Let's make sure that when we're talking, we are not letting corruption creep in there. We're not antagonizing. We're not dividing. We're actually trying to find common ground. We're trying to communicate effectively and what's necessary that, and I love this phrase, that it may impart grace to the hearers, so that when your wife hears you speak to her, she's not on edge. She's not defensive. She's not pulling away from you. She's actually like, okay, I see that. That's, you're handling that well. You're talking about that well.
I think that applies for the wives too. You know, when we are venting or we're, you know, he asks, going back to the, you seem stressed, what's happening? You know, I think we need to look at the root of what's happening, because I think sometimes that reaction is, well, if you were here, you would know. And so then we're shifting that blame, like Ms. Amy was saying. And really we need to kind of go back to the root. And a lot of times it's like, I feel disrespected by my children, or I feel whatever, and finding those roots and communicating those roots instead of placing blame, then you're going to have a good conversation. And like he said, husbands, don't be reactive to the truth that she's saying or what she's explained to you. Again, you don't take that personally, but then you respond with, okay, my wife is hurting, but what does she need from me? You know, does she need me to tell her to suck it up? It's not that big of a deal. Probably not, you know, to go, man, that really stinks. I'm so sorry that they said that to you, you know? And so really focusing on this communication is totally worth your time and investment. I mean, talking about communication, we could spend 3 days talking about communication, but we don't have time for that here.
So two more points, and then we'll jump on to the next one. One is never make your spouse pay a price for being honest with you. If you're asking them to tell you what's going on and they're honest with you, don't make them pay a price for it. You asked. And so sometimes honesty hurts. Sometimes you don't see things in you that are problematic and you need to hear it. So don't make them pay the price. And there's a lot of pieces to this, but cold shoulders, not talking, silent treatment, you know, it's going to be another week before you touch me again, like that kind of stuff. And this works both ways. That's making your spouse pay a price for the conversation. And that really, honestly, that has no place in marriage. Keep talking that out and work those things out.
Yeah. Keeping this idea of Christ loving the church and then Jesus and the wife and the spouse. Am I saying that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What I'm talking about. If we keep those things in perspective when we're talking to our spouse, I think it'll help us to respond better.
And the other piece of that conversation is that when we're married and we're coming together and we're figuring these things out, God designed this for us to work the sharp edges off of each other. When you were single and you had no backstop, come on, you remember these days, when you had nobody telling you you're being a knothead, nobody telling you that sounded rude, nobody questioning your motives, nobody asking you where you're going. Come on, you had lots of rough edges. You had blind spots. You still do. But when you're married, your spouse actually is uniquely equipped to find those rough edges.
And they love you. They like do. It's coming from a place of love. Like, I care about this person.
And so when you get feedback from that, they're actually helping you shape and smooth the parts of you that are rubbing things the wrong way, rubbing people the wrong way, keeping you from a promotion, keeping you from advancement, keeping you from succeeding. You're helping each other. So you've got to come into this thing like, wait a minute. We're in a covenant now. We're married. We're together. So this isn't going to change. We need to help each other be the best versions of ourselves we can be. And that comes from allowing your spouse to say things you might not like and not making them pay a price for them being honest with you. Now, say it nice when they're asking you for input. Don't be mean about it. Say it nice. You know, find a way to articulate that where it's not rough. But sometimes you have to say hard things, and that's okay. You have to embrace that for change.
You really do. I mean, I think we live in a culture where it's like, never offend me, never call me out, accept me the way I am. And I just don't think that's God's way. You know, he can say something to me and it hurt my feelings. And that's okay, because it still might be truth. It might be something I need to hear. And he has to be okay with going, this might hurt your feelings. And I have to be okay that I had my feelings hurt. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to turn to a fight. It can be something that it's like, yeah, that totally sucks. Nobody likes serious. Sorry, said sucks. I said it 3 times.
It's a marriage comment.
It's not fun to disagree, but you're going to, and we have to face these things and be willing to trust the person that we're married to and go, I believe you, and I'm going to try to work on this. That makes sense.
We had a conversation not terrible long ago, and she was like, I need you to respond. I'm saying some things, and I need you to say something back. And I was like processing.
Can anybody relate to that? Like, where like the wife or the husband is saying something, and then they just stare.
Yes.
Nothing. And I'm like, there's
so I'm thinking, I'm processing, I'm trying to respond. And she laid out this whole thing. And then she's like, I need you to respond. And I said, I'm formulating. She said, okay. So she just sat there for a minute. And I kind of put everything she said into context.
Can I tell you what my reaction, though, is to go, well, you're probably da-da-da-da-da, and you're probably thinking this, and you're, and it's like, no, let him speak and process and just
don't have the conversation for me. And yeah, and so when she got done with all that, and it took me a minute, and I was like, do I really want to say this? And I'm like, hey, she asked for a response. So I told her what I thought, and I said, I hear everything you're saying, but I think you're full of crap. That's what I said. And I spell crap with a K, K-R-A-P, so it's not vulgar. And she starts smiling, and I'm like, whoa, didn't expect that reaction. That's really scary. Why is she smiling? But she was so pleased that I took the time to formulate and rebut. Like, I'm not just going to go, yeah, okay. I was like, no, I don't agree with the assessment that you just made about a behavior I had. That wasn't where I was going at all. You had a whole conversation in your head that I didn't say. And no. And so then I was able to come around and say, this is what I was thinking. And this is what actually happened. And she's over there smiling while I'm explaining this. And I'm like, this is scary.
He was talking. He was sharing.
I told him what I thought.
Yeah. And yeah. I want to know what he's thinking. I think most spouses want to know what the other's thinking. Because if you don't say anything, we're making it up in our head.
They are making it
and
up.
And it's usually not good. Right? So...
And when you get older, it's like, do you remember when you said? You're like, I never said that at all. I think you said that up here. So you got to start having the things out loud now before. Okay, anyway. Okay. That's dangerous. Okay. We want to get through to a couple more points. Everybody doing okay still? Fellas, our wives want to initiate. This is leadership. They want us to initiate and have conversations on the money matters. They don't want us to solve them all, but they want to hear from us on what we think. And... You got to run your house. You got to do it the way that works for you. This is your marriage, and you guys are going to walk this out and talk this out. And sometimes the guys does all the bills, and sometimes the wife will do all the bills. Sometimes you'll do it together. Whatever works for you is great, but you don't abdicate a certain part that impacts both people just because one's better at it. And so, fellas, we want to initiate. And so if you're the guy that's like doing all the bills and you know where the money's going and all this stuff, you've got to initiate conversations with your wife on money matters. And Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And it comes down to this place of, fellas, we're gonna talk to our wives and we're gonna initiate this. You know what Miss Amy was talking about tithing. I mean, it's when you're talking about finances in any regard as a Christian, married, single, whatever, it always starts with what does God say about money? And the thing that God says about money the most is honor God with the first fruits, honor God with the tithe. He gets first. And he could have asked for 90% and you live on 10. That'd have been hard. He didn't. He asked for 10. And it's not that he's trying to extract anything from us. He's actually trying to teach us principles of trusting in God and allowing him to make the 90 go farther than the 100 could ever go. And so we're learning these things. But fellas, our wives want to hear us say, I think we need to start this direction. We may not have the money coming in right now because we're stretched in all the areas, but we're going to start heading that direction to honoring God with the first fruits of our check. Whatever that is, start with something. And our wives want to hear us involved in the money decisions and deciding and move forward, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And this just came to mind, money's tight. A lot of things have changed in our economy these last couple of years, and it's a stressful thing. And it can be tight. And what I would say is yes, put God forward first. And then you guys pray over your finances. You know, we serve a miraculous God who promises to provide for us in every way. And I think by going, you know what, we're going to honor God. I don't know how this is going to work, but then grab your wife's hand and say, thank you, Lord, that you are blessing our finances and that you're making a way when there seems to be no way. And if your prayer is as simple as that, you've just come into agreement about your finances together and start speaking, okay, I don't know how this is going to happen, but the Lord's going to take care. And husbands, when you say that to your wife, it's going to be encouraging. And this is the following part, ladies. When he says, it's going to be okay because we're trusting the Lord, amen. You know, that's about all you need to say if you're thinking, well, what about this and you this? No, I'm sorry, it's a really good position to be in to just go and let him lead and let him go, okay, he's praying, we're believing, we're in agreement, and I'm not going to speak against what we're believing, God. to do in our lives.
Luke 16 says, therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or the worldly riches, the world's money system, who will commit to you, commit their trust in the true riches? And we want to be faithful in what God's put in our hand, in our family, in our finances, and our wives, fellas, our wives want to hear these conversations and talk about it. And it includes retirement, vacations, planning vacations with the kids, you know, all these things. Like, hey, I'm making a plan. We're making a plan for retirement. We're making a plan to take a trip because we need a break. We're making a plan. And just, you got to have these conversations with your wives. It's important. Even if the budget's tight and you can't really go far, you know, it's like, we're going to the neighbor's house. Like, we're going to camp out right over there. Whatever you got to do. We're not on our property, whatever it happens. But like, I'm making a plan. I'm going to do something that's different than the norm. We're going to set some money aside to do that. We're going to sacrifice for that. Because it's important, and your wives will appreciate this as you step in it.
Well, and I also want to say too, the husbands don't have to initiate all these things, because this is a long list of things. But you can go, hey, can we pray about this together? And then,
but that's initiation. Truly.
Well, no, I mean for the women to go, can we pray about that?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, because we're not expecting our husbands to walk out of here being, I don't know, all these things. And neither are we walking out being perfect now. So it's okay. Let's walk alongside each other. Let's help each other. If it comes to mind going, hey, you remember when they said that? Let's try that.
Yeah.
Wives, you can say that in a really honoring and respectful way.
Yeah. Don't leave a conference like this and have all your points written down. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to start doing all of them all at once. That's impossible task. Pick something that seems like the most, stands out the most to you. In the, even in this list, like, the one that stands out the most, just start there and watch what God will do. Our wives want to know that we have a vested interest in our kids. Initiate with the kids. Initiate that you're present with them, that you engage with them. Cody uses that word engage. Like, you know, we have a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old, and they are teenagers. And so they like to talk and you know, they would be in an engagement with my wife. And she would like turn to me and be like, can you get in here? can you help me out? And that's the engaged part is be engaged with the kids, be in there.
I mean, because again, I'm home with my kids, and I think this is true for a lot of people, especially with young children, if you don't have your kids homeschooling like we do. But even with young kids, you are navigating relationships between your children all day long. And so there's times when he's home, when he's present, I'm like, I would love it if you would help to carry this load. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, can you engage, you know? And I will say one more thing about kids and parenting and stuff. Moms and dads do it different, right? The way a father interacts with the kids is very different than the other. And I would say, you know, part of what we're trying to teach our children is to engage well with each other. And so I don't want my kids practicing being mean, I guess is kind of really what I'm getting at. And so I think some dads are like, oh, let them duke it out. You know, they'll figure it out. And I would say, be conscientious of that. Because we don't want our kids practicing duking it out. Like, dads, we want you to also step in and go, why are you talking to each other that way? And so when you're there, don't just handle it. I handle it my way. You handle it your way. Be aware. And actually, this kind of comes in later, too. Have a vision for what you want to do so that you're both on the same page.
Yeah, parenting is a whole other topic. But this is part of kids and in training and discipline. And again, this comes back to what's been said, but just make sure you're on the same page with that. If it's in the word, that's what we're going to stick with. We're going to agree with the word, but, you got to think about, fellas, especially your wives want to hear this. Have you thought about what you want your children to become? Dads, have you thought about at all your kids, your little ones right now, your teenagers, have you thought about what it looks like for your kid to enter the workforce, to be successful, to serve in church, to honor God, to find a good career path, to find a good spouse? Have you thought about what that looks like? What do you want your kids to be and become? And then work backwards from that. Like, how do we get there? How do we have a kid that would show up to work and be maybe one of the only ones that works all day? Right? What does that look like? How do we have a kid that has a good work ethic, that honors God, that will speak respectfully to people, that will clean up after themselves, that will take care of themselves? What does that look like? And guys, we need to have a vision for our family. We need to understand, we need to look ahead and go, what does that look like? How do I train my kid right now to do that? Your kid's gonna have chores. Almost to the age where they're able, they're gonna have chores. They're gonna have things to do, and they're gonna have to learn how to do it when they don't want to. Because you go to work every day, and you don't always want to, right? They have to learn these things. You do it anyway. Doesn't matter if you want to take out the trash. It has to go out. So we're all these things we're teaching our kids and how we're modeling and doing. And our wives want to see us invested in that and not push all the rearing and all the parenting onto our wives because, you know, we had a hard day or we have a hard job or, you know, we work the night shift or whatever. It's like we can't abdicate that portion of it. And if we want this to go well in our marriage and with our kids, we're going to have to initiate with the kids and have some tasks. So if you haven't thought about these things, be thinking about them. You know, for us, we've thought about this a lot with our kids being in ministry, and I realize that's kind of a unique situation that, you know, nobody else except these two really understand. You know, when I say the word pastor's kid, most of you go, yeah, I knew one of those. Wow. And I wasn't one of those kids that like went off the rails. And I attribute that to my parents being the same at home as they were at church and same at home as they were out in the grocery store. They lived in front of us what they actually believed. That helped me a lot. But, you know, even just asking Mark and Amy, they have three adult kids that are all serving the Lord and following God. And they've been pastoring this whole time. And we've asked them, like, how did you do that? Because we have a lot of other friends with pastor's kids. And they're not, or not all of them are serving the Lord and just doing different things. And so, you know, obviously we want our kids to, like, not hate God and not hate ministry and follow God their whole lives. And I think you got to look around a little bit, you know, at some of the people in your lives, like who has kids, who have grown kids or kids that are ahead of your kids, and how do those kids respond? How do they act? Are they polite? Are they kind? Do they take care of themselves? Do they have a sense of responsibility about them? I mean, these are questions you've got to ask as parents. How do we get there? And then ask these people and ask the people that you're seeing that have kids that are doing well. It's important that we do that. And again, fellas, this is initiation. This is looking around, just being mindful. Man, I want my kids to do well. I want them to be responsible and respectful and hard workers. How do we get there? And having a vision for that is pretty important. I remember, I'll just tell you a quick story. I remember one of the worst whoopings I ever got. You know, is whooping lost on anybody? A spanking, right? One of the worst whoopings I ever got was I think I was 12. Sometimes the, you know, the ages get a little fuzzy with all that, but I think I was 12. Pretty old, you know, really for whoopings. But my dad, we got home from something and we had sleds, snow sleds in the back of the van. My dad told me to put them away. So I took them out of the back of the van, went to the basement door, opened the door and dropped all the sleds right inside the door and closed the door and then went and rode my bike. So problem number one. And so I was playing with my bike. I couldn't really hear anything, but apparently he saw the sleds later, like 20 minutes later, and knew that I hadn't put them away. I just did the least amount, literally the least amount I could do, and was calling for me. And I never heard him because I was playing on my bike. But he got pretty boiled, pretty upset. So when he finally found me outside, he thought I had been ignoring him for the last, you know, 5 minutes of searching, just doing my own thing, and boiled over, got whooped. And came back to that. And I remember asking, like, why were you so upset? Like, this was very surprising to me. And he said, I called you for 5 minutes and you ignored me. And I was like, I didn't hear you. And then he was very penitent. He was apologetic. He's like, I lost my temper. I should have never lost my temper and disciplined you. Never. I should have never done that. And that was not okay. And he was like tearful. And that's not tearful a lot, but he was tearful because he knew he'd blown it. But I learned something about that. One is when you're teaching your kids, you've got to show them what the right way is. And I knew when I set those down in the doorway that was not where they belonged. And that set the stage. But I'll never forget that story for two reasons. One is if I had put those where they belonged, if I would have taken the effort, that whole thing would have never happened. And then I also learned from my dad that he made a mistake and he was willing to own it and apologize for it. And guys, we can do that too. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes with your kids. It's going to happen. You've got to own it. You can't, again, shift the blame, right? The beginning of the fall, shift the blame. This woman you gave me, this serpent deceived me. Just own the mistake and ask for forgiveness, apologize, and move on. That'll take you a long ways. Good. Okay. We're running out of time. So I just want to hit a couple more things. They did. Yeah, Mark and Amy hit this good, and it was being in church. And my bullet point is serving the Lord. And statistics, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but If a dad brings his family to church, there's 93% likelihood that family will stay in church and serve God. When the mom brings the family to church, I think it's in the 60s that the family will come and all find God and serve in the church. If the kids are the ones that find God first from like a kids program or whatever, and they get their parents to church, it's like under 20% that the family will stick. And those aren't great statistics. But what it tells me is that if the dads will lead, the families are better off. And so I'm just encouraging all of you guys to understand this, that we're giving you practical wisdom on how to deal with your spouse and love your spouse and do well by your spouse. But it's going to start with what your kids and your family see and you model, dads, what you're doing, how you're leading. And when church is a priority, it brings security and stability to it. You know, Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we got to come to a place where like, I don't care what else is going on. We're going to honor God because this life is short, it's brief, and we're out of here. And we'll never regret the time that we sowed into the kingdom serving God, never. And it's important that our kids see that so that it's in them as they're grown and they're raising their families too. So.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Service that counts is service that costs. So anytime you serve and it's going to count for something, it's going to cost you something. And that means sacrifice. Again, back to the sacrifice piece. You know, it's coming to church and serving in church is not always convenient. And that's just the way it is. And we don't serve God out of convenience. That's not really serving. That's just fitting it into your life. And when we honor God, we're actually making sacrifices to honor God. And again, your kids will see this and your family will see this. What are you doing to honor God in your life? So I'm just encouraging all the dads, all the leaders.
Well, and church is for, it is for serving. You know, I think just the church culture in general is like, what can I get? What can I get? And that's okay. I think there are seasons, especially when you're new believers, that you come in and you're filled up. But then once we kind of get some of that foundation, then it's time for us to go, man, I want somebody else to get what I'm getting. And so I'm going to come and serve the Lord. I'm going to serve. And then it becomes more of a selfless thing. Not just I'm going because you're going to feed me spiritually or otherwise. But you're giving into other people, because that's really what serving is. It's giving into other people. It's not serving the pastors. It's serving your church family. And that's, and again, bringing in people that are lost.
Initiating in prayer. This is probably the one we hear the most in Christian circles when we're helping couples, is that the wives want their husbands to initiate prayer and to pray. And I get the stigma there. I get that sometimes it's difficult to start, but really everything that you do in life that's worth anything is difficult to start. New careers, moving. Prayer is one of those things that's so critical. And I remember even if you guys heard of Greg Rochelle, he talks about just praying with his wife, just a couple of minutes before he leaves the house. And it's just so powerful. It doesn't have to be this hour long prayer meeting where you're just calling down fire from heaven every day. Grabbing your wife's hand for a couple of minutes and just praying over her and the kids in the day.
Maybe not even a couple of minutes, maybe 30 seconds.
Maybe 20 seconds.
Lord, help her with these kids of mine. You know, I mean, something.
Seriously. But I mean, those are just, they're brief, they're quick, but they're powerful. And, you know, yeah, Matthew 18 says, you know, I say to you, if two of you agree on anything on earth concerning anything they will ask, it will be done for them. And it's important that we understand this. This covenant, this prayer of agreement, and we've seen this in our own lives for things that we've written down and believed God for. God bring things to pass. We've prayed the prayer of agreement. But I'm encouraging husbands, I'm encouraging you, pray with your wife. End of the day, beginning of the day, whenever you find that moment, if you forget, call her up. Hey, I want to pray real quick. I want to pray for your day. I want to pray. And it doesn't have to be eloquent. It doesn't have to be King James Version, thus thou sayest the Lord. It doesn't have to be any of that. It's just you talking to your wife and going before the Lord in however you talk, your language. And it's important. It's powerful. And your wives want you to lead in this way. And I'm telling you, if you've never done this before, it's a hard start. Mm-hmm. But once you start doing it and find out how good it works, you're like, we're doing this every day. We're going to start adding twice a day because this is... When we pray like this, this works. Like, things just go better because we're honoring God.
Yeah, and I think this can be an uncomfortable step for men. I mean, that's what we hear often. And ladies, thank them when they pray for you. Don't correct their prayers, you know.
That wasn't scriptural.
Thank
them.
Can you
say that again?
Because you know what? Honestly, those first few prayers might come out jumbled and not eloquent, and that's okay. I mean, we're just talking to God. We're talking to each other. And And just praise him for that and encourage him in that. Because I guarantee if you correct his praying for you, you're going to shut him down. You're going to shut him down. Don't do it. Don't laugh. Don't snicker. Amen. Yep. Have a great day, honey.
She laughs at my prayers all the time.
No, I don't.
It's important. So that was just a little snippet. And then family fun. Initiate some family fun. And we've had some traditions over the years that we intentionally put in. Cody has a shopping date with the girls in December where they do a shopping thing overnight.
Well, this comes kind of back to vision for our family, you know.
Traditions.
Building traditions, because I do want to have a relationship with my kids as adults. I do want them to want to come home. I do want them to look forward to things. Not that I'm getting all of my identity from my grown children, because there's balance in there, of course. But I do want home to be a good place to be. And so I like strategically started doing a girl shopping trip with my kids. My girls, the oldest, were like 5 and 7, because I'm like, when you're 25, I want you to go, hey, we got to do our girls shopping trip. And so again, that's kind of the vision and fun kind of thing that we build in. And
then we do a daddy daughter camping trip, and I have all girls. So they're like, we're going in the woods. Yes, we are.
And I stay home.
She stays home.
Praise the Lord.
But now as they're getting older, they're looking forward to it. When are we doing that? When are we going? You know, and they enjoy these things. And so building these things in is us building family time in them, showing them that they're valuable and that they matter. And your wife will love you for that. So and your kids will love it too, but make sure you're building that in and initiate that. Like, hey, how could we do this? What do we got going on this spring? What we got going on this summer where we can get away with the kids and really intentionally spend some time with them that they'll remember and take with them for a long time. So, yep. Cody mentioned this too. This is good. Correction happens daily. So it's nice to have some fun moments with your kids to show the family that it's not just about correction, but it's also about love and laughter.
Yeah. Right?
You're training your kids all day long, like especially when they're little. You're on them. You're teaching them. You got to pick that up. Why did you do that? Don't rub that in your sister's hair.
Well,
in the world. And then there's correction, right? And you're training, you're teaching. But then also you're away from that. You're playing a game, or you're going on a hike, or you're just enjoying each other. And they need to see both sides. It's important that they do.
Yeah, it's not just toddlers. You got 13-year-old in the house. Lord Jesus.
Why now. Did you smack your sister? Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of that relief, you know, because we're correcting all day long, but the kids still need to have fun. I mean, I think we all go through phases where I'm like, I feel like all I'm doing is correcting this kid, which is super, super important. But if you play a family game, you have more, you know, likelihood that there will be some laughing and not just correction.
Right. Okay. Last thing.
Right, we're sailing through these now.
Initiate. Fellas, you got to initiate intimacy. And some of you are thinking right now, you're like, that's all I do. And I get in trouble for it. The point of that is initiate intimacy in the way that she responds. And you can't, I've had success with this. You can make a very obvious plan. The kids are going to be at my mother's house. You know, like we'll have the house to ourselves, or we're going away without the kids. Like it can be a very obvious plan, but the fact that you planned it or you made effort with it is kind of a big deal. And I think that we need to understand that it's okay to be obvious about it, but you got to initiate some of that intimacy and make a plan for it. And then,
so on the flip side, again, ladies, when we're following that lead, that goes back to some of the stuff we talked about yesterday. You're talking specifically about sex, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Be more sexual than you feel. If you know that he's planned this thing, he's saying, hey, I'm planning this thing, he's taking some lead, then you got to get your head in the game, you know, and believe that he's... Why are you laughing at that? but I lost my train of thought, but that's the basis of it.
And if he's making a plan and he starts...
Wait, a song for you. Hey. Another song?
Yep.
RPA.
Let's get it on. Okay. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. But if you lead into this, it's okay. She'll actually think she'll find some humor in that you're making an effort. But they want to see us lead. And don't leave that alone, ladies. Don't leave that alone. One of the things that guys say about sex with their wives is that they would like their wives to also initiate. That it's not always them trying to make the effort, that the wives are interested as well. And that's something that
men want to feel wanted too, ladies.
Correct.
You know, yep. So they want to feel wanted. So anyway. Just go cuddle up with him. So I'm just kidding. More than that.
There's a, There's a bunch of things in here, and what we were trying to just give you some nuggets, and maybe one or two of these stood out, and you're like, yeah, I need to do that better. I need to pray with my wife, or I need to work on my relationship with the Lord, and or whatever these things are. We need to have that conversation about money.
Hey, I have a great idea. You could actually initiate a conversation after this with your wife, going, hey, babe, what spoke out to you? What was the number one need that you were like, yes, and vice versa? Like, guys, initiate that conversation going, let's pick one thing, because golly, even Corey and I looking through this, I'm like, man, we could be doing things better.
Sure.
In a lot of ways. But initiate that conversation, guys. Get one thing and then give them one thing.
Start working on it.
Yeah.
Good.
Start somewhere.
All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you're helping us with. Help us to lean into you more and understand more about our spouse and this covenant of marriage that you brought us. Lord, we're so grateful that it's your idea and that just because it's your idea, it will work. And we're just asking that you would work in us and help us to be the best versions of ourselves that we can be, the best versions for our spouses. We just thank you for all that you're doing in us. Thank you for this time that we got to have. And thank you for the Q&A coming up. In Jesus' name, amen.